Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're floating into the wild history of ballooning with Richard Holmes's Falling Upwards. So Sophie, when you think of the first balloons, what comes to mind?
Honestly, I used to think of them as a cute footnote before airplanes, but this book completely changed that. Holmes shows how ballooning was this huge cultural earthquake, a moment when the sky stopped being just for birds and angels and became a place we could actually go.
Right, and it starts with a literal bang. In 1783, the Montgolfier brothers launch this giant linen balloon in a French town, and the peasants think it's a monster. It rises over a mile, and suddenly the contract between us and the sky is broken.
It's such a vivid image. And what follows is this balloonomania across Europe. People are weeping, praying, fainting at these ascents. It's like a new form of theater with the sky as the stage.
And the first human flight is chaotic. Pilatre de Rogier and the Marquis d'Arlens are feeding the fire to stay up, nearly torching the whole thing, and they have zero control. They're just drifting with the wind.
That's the core paradox, isn't it? The balloon gives you this incredible freedom, but you're completely at the mercy of the air currents. You can't steer it. You just go where the world's breath takes you.
Yeah, and that really shapes the personalities we meet. You've got Jacques Charles, the meticulous physicist using hydrogen, which is way more dangerous but powerful. Then there's Vincent Lunardi, the flamboyant showman who brings ballooning to England with his cat.
Oh, the cat. That always gets me. But beyond the spectacle, the balloon becomes a scientific lab. Guys like Gay-Lussac go up to measure the air and the magnetic field, and they discover the air up there is the same as down here. That's a profound, unifying idea.
Right? The heavens aren't some ethereal substance. It's the same stuff we're breathing. That's pretty democratic, right?
Totally. And then you have the military angle with balloon corps during the French Revolution spying on the enemy from above. But again, they're passive observers because they can't steer.
The heart of the book for me is the 1862 flight of the Eagle. Glacier and Coxwell go up to break the altitude record, and they're in an open basket, no oxygen, freezing cold. Glacier is so obsessed with his readings that he starts passing out.
And Coxwell's hands are frozen, so he can't pull the valve cord. He ends up using his teeth to yank it and save their lives. They hit around 29,000 feet, which is insane for that time.
It's terrifying and beautiful at the same time. Holmes makes you feel that bone-deep cold and the silence up there. It's pure courage in the name of knowledge.
And that's what falling upwards means, I think. Rising to meet your own limits, even if it's dangerous. The aeronauts are like pilgrims seeking transcendence, not just passengers.
Yeah, they talk about this aerial ecstasy, seeing the curve of the Earth, the sun setting twice in a day. That's a perspective nobody had before them.
And then there's the darker side. Pilatre de Rogier, the first man to fly, becomes the first to die in a crash. The quest for altitude and spectacle claims a lot of lives. It's a contract with death, as Holmes says.
But the romance keeps pulling people in. During the siege of Paris in 1870, they use balloons to get letters and even pigeons out of the city. Over 2.5 million messages. That's heroic.
And we can't forget the women. Sophie Blanchard becomes a celebrated aeronaut under Napoleon, and there's Marie Blanchard too. They found a rare freedom up there, a way to escape the constraints of society.
The book ends with André's doomed attempt to reach the North Pole in 1897. They disappear, and their bodies aren't found for over 30 years. Their cameras are recovered, and the film shows their slow struggle after the balloon crashes on the ice.
It's this beautiful, tragic failure that marks the end of the pure balloon age. After that, you get the airplane, which is about control and efficiency. The balloon was about surrender and contemplation.
Yeah, the airplane masters the sky, but the balloon submits to it. That's the difference. You're a part of the wind, not above it.
What I'm taking away is that the balloon changed how we see ourselves. It made the Earth feel like a planet, a fragile blue marble. That perspective is something we still have today, thanks to those first crazy aeronauts. And if you're curious to experience more of that wonder, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So yeah, the balloon's legacy is that stubborn, beautiful urge to go up and see farther, to feel untethered and free. We'll see you in the next one.